The five permanent members of the UN Security Council have met again overnight to discuss the situation in Syria. Meanwhile, the British government says it has legal advice saying it could launch strikes against the Syrian regime without the backing of the UN. The British government has also released a new assessment of last week's attack, intelligence agencies blaming the Syrian government for the deadly onslaught. Daniel Pipes is the president of the Middle East Forum, a think tank based in Philadelphia. He's a leading conservative thinker, an advocate for Israel, a critic of political Islam. He's written a dozen books on the Middle East and Islamism. And also, as regards this looming conflict with Syria, he argues the global community should avoid military action. He's in Australia as a guest of the Australia-Israel Jewish Affairs Council, and he joins me in the Breakfast Studio. Daniel Pipes, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks so much, Fran.
You've described this contemplated military attack on Syria as symbolic. What's symbolic about trying to deter regimes from using chemical weapons on their own people?
Well, if that were the purpose, I would agree it's not symbolic. But I think this is due to Barack Obama having said some time ago, a couple of years ago, in fact, that use of chemical weapons is a red line and must be punished. And so I see this as a punishment, as a symbolic punishment saying you mustn't do this. But I don't think, judging by the information we have, that it's going to be a limited attack, limited to 2 days and some 50 targets, that it's really going to make a difference. That a year hence, that one will remember that this was a significant turning point
militarily. You don't think surgical strikes against a country could loom as a could act as a deterrent from them deploying chemical agents again?
Given the nature of Bashar al-Assad, the rather unpredictable and not very competent president of Syria, this could well inflame him to do more attacks and more chemicals. One's not dealing with a very rational actor in Damascus.
So what, in your view, how should the world respond to the use of chemical weapons by a government?
I think our goal should not be focused on chemical weapons. Our goal should be to note that there's a humanitarian disaster in Syria and to focus our efforts on protecting those who are not party to the intense civil war that's taking place there. To use our influence over the Turks, the Qataris, the Saudis, the Russians, and perhaps others, Chinese, to get the fighting out of the cities, out of the inhabited areas. I think that's what realistically we can do. We have a humanitarian interest in keeping the fighting from killing innocents. I don't think we have particularly a strategic interest in this war. Both sides are absolutely wretched, and we don't want either side to win.
So that humanitarian interest, what do you think that would draw or should draw in terms of an international response? How should the world respond?
I think we should be putting pressure on the supporters of the two sides. I don't think we have a possible influence on the sides themselves.
What about, does that mean no military action?
It means no military action. Unless you're going to go in to win, to achieve something militarily, don't do it. If we're going in to depose the Assad government, a goal I'm against, okay, fine, then that's a goal that one can understand. But if one's going in to punish, to say we don't like this, no, that you don't use military force for that.
So when you write, if one is going to use force, one has to use it to win, not to preen morally or create symbols, you're not arguing for the West to try and force some kind of regime change. You're just arguing for the West to desist, saying this is just some kind of seeking of moral authority.
Right. In another circumstance, I might be in favor of regime change because the Assad regime is wretched. But if one looks at the rebels and who their major groups are, one can only conclude that they're even more dangerous because they are the bearers of a vibrant ideology, whereas the Assad regime is corrupt and self-interested and has no ideology.
It raises the question, though, if you follow that logic, of what value international law at all. I mean, the deployment of chemical weapons is a breach of international law. If you're saying, well, yes, that might have happened, but we shouldn't take military action to defend that or intervene in that, what point is having those laws?
Well, let me turn around and say that you're presenting this law as needing a police force to make sure that the law is kept to. And I'm saying I don't want to serve as a police force. I don't think Australians, Americans, or other Westerners are willing to spend money and lives to enforce an abstract law. This is not something we've signed on to do. Granted, it's against international law, but I don't see us as the enforcing mechanism for that law.
It's 19 to 7 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Daniel Pipes. He's the president of the Middle East Forum, which is a think tank based in Philadelphia. What is your concern in terms of the impact of a strike against Syria? Is it largely your key concern that it might bring Iran into the picture more decisively?
That is one. It could lead to more violence against civilians in Syria. It could lead to an attack on Israel or even Turkey. It could lead to the Russians becoming more involved. Who knows where it's going to go? One uses force very cautiously with a specific goal in mind. And this is an open-ended undertaking that says, well, we're going to show them we don't like this and hope that things come out fine. Well, that's I don't think that's wise.
You talked about the best place to start would be to put pressure on the other players that have come in here,
right,
as part of this Syrian conflict. So in a sense, the Arab-Israeli conflict that we've been so used to watching, participating in, commenting on, has morphed into a Sunni-Shia conflict. That's your view.
Yeah, I would say that the term Middle East conflict meant for decades Arab-Israeli. Today it means the conflict between Sunnis and Shiis, or to put it differently, between status quo and revisionists, between the Iranians, the Iranian group and the Saudi group. And the Arab-Israeli conflict has moved to the side. It's just not the central issue anymore, not with Syria aflame and Egypt at the precipice and many other looming disasters.
To some degree, I guess that's good news for Israel, if you're right.
To some degree, it is. Israel is not in the center of things, but as we've just seen with the statements by the Syrian-Iranian governments, they are eager to bring Israel into the picture. This happened 20 years ago with Iraq, when we, the Western world, the coalition, attacked Iraq in 1991. What did Saddam Hussein do? He attacked Israel. He sent missiles against Israel. Israel's not party to that, but it's useful from a political point of view for Saddam Hussein or Bashar al-Assad to drag Israel into it. So it does have dangers for Israel.
Israel is already being dragged into it to some degree. Western governments are saying they have more and more evidence that's convinced them that the Assad regime was behind these chemical weapons attacks. The international press has revealed that some of that evidence, or key parts of that evidence, were gathered by Israeli intelligence agencies.
Indeed, yeah.
So Israel is right in the thick of this. That will, of course, lead some to mistrust that evidence.
I would wonder why. I mean, Israeli intelligence has proven over the decades to be very reliable.
Yes, but we've had all sorts of evidence in the past in Iraq, which was proven not to be reliable, not from Israel, I should stress, but given Israel's position here in the Middle East conflict of the past, it will be viewed with some suspicion, I would have thought, by some of the players.
I don't think the Israelis are eager to have the Syrian war go international. I would imagine that from the Israeli point of view, keeping this localized to Syria is better. So I don't think the Israelis have a particular interest in having Western strikes on Damascus. It's a very complex situation. I don't think Israel's central to this. The key players are the Syrian government, the rebels, and the Iranian regime.
Who do you think is responsible for the use of chemical weapons?
I think there's no question that the Syrian government is behind it, and it appears that it's the response to an assassination attempt on Bashar al-Assad some days before August 21st. And this was the answer by his brother, Maher al-Assad, who said, okay, you're going to try and assassinate Bashar, here's your punishment. So it seems to have been done in a fit of pique and anger rather than out of a long-term strategy. Part of a long-term strategy.
Many commenters suggest that the West is looking for such limited action because it is concerned of what would happen if the Assad regime toppled, and we have the fractured factions within the opposition. Some of them we know are Al-Qaeda-based. Is that your concern?
It is indeed. And that's why I'm so worried about this, because it pretends to be a finely calibrated attack that sends a message to the Assad government, you may not do this, but on the other hand, doesn't actually degrade its capabilities in any serious way. And I say, you don't use force in a context like this.
So you don't use force, you use trying to have some diplomatic pressure on Iran. That hasn't worked.
Well, not Iran, but Russia, and as I said, Turkey, Qatar. I think much of the violence, as much violence is coming from the rebels as from the government. We tend to hear about the government side, but the atrocities against those who are allied with the government are no less hideous than those done by the government. This is really a situation which is very difficult to choose which side is worse on an operational level, though I would argue that on an ideological level, the rebels are even worse than the government.
So from your point of view, there's a case for leaving the Assad regime there as the lesser of all evils?
Very reluctantly, I say yes to that, yeah.
Daniel Pipes, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Daniel Pipes is the president of the Middle East Forum, a think tank based in Philadelphia. It's 13 to 7 on Breakfast.